You're listening to Abin Chalif Vichazara with Daniel Eisberg, Masecha Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Beis. Tzadi Beis, the Daf Simon is going to be a Tzav, which is a turtle. So that's the Simon. I don't know what it is yet. And one of the 3 points is going to be on our Amud, so we'll get to that. A little bit later on, we have a new Mishnah, slightly new topic, so we'll see that soon. However, we're first going to continue with the old topic, which is the Machlokas of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, whether Eged Kli is Shmei Eged, right? Do we say that a Kli causes everything inside the Kli to bond into one object or not? Is Eged Kli Shmei Eged, or... Or not. And the case that we were speaking about was it was based on our Mishnah, the Mishnah on the previous Amud, and the quest, right, where there's something on the Iskopa, and the Kli is partially in, partially out of bounds, and the question is, would that only be the case that, right, in that case where it's partially out, if it's not fully out, if it's not fully in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then it's not considered to have been in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim at all. Now, does that only apply if there wasn't an entire vegetable itself, right? Is this Mishnah talking about long vegetables only, so there wasn't an entire vegetable in itself outside? Or even if it was mustard seeds, chardal, where part of it is completely out, but still the whole kli is shmei eged. So that suffix on how to understand our Mishnah, that machlokas on how to understand our Mishnah, which really hangs on that principle. So we're going to see that it's actually not only Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah who have this machlokas, right? So now 4 lines down on Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, v'chein amar Rava, and also Rava taught lo shanu ela bakupa maleya kishuin v'diluin, that we only learned this, meaning the halacha of our Mishnah, that if it's partially out of bounds, it's only if it's partially still in on the skopa, then it's not considered a full transfer. We only said that in a kupa malaya kishuin vidiluin, in a basket box filled with kishuin vidiluin, cucumbers and squash or gourds, right, which are longer. Avamalaya chardal chayiv. But if it was filled with mustard seeds, that in which each there are many seeds that are actually that are completely out of out in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, chayiv yubi chayiv. Amalu, we see kesavar eged kli lo shmei eged. He says clearly, it's the eged kli is not considered eged because there are mustard seeds that are fully out. If eged kli was shmei eged, then it would be one big unit, and part of it is out and part of it is in. Therefore, none of it is halachically out. So we see Rava holds like Chizkiah. However, Abaye Amar Afilu Maleya Chardal Potter. Alma Kesavar Eged Kli Shmei Eged. He says the opposite, like Rabbi Yochanan. And it's just worth noting, I believe, Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah live in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan and Abaye and Rava, first of all, they're later than, they are later than Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. They're a few generations of Amorim later. However, and they are originally from Eretz Yisrael, but they end up becoming Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel after a mass exodus from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel in the middle of the Amoraic period at the closing of the Talmud Yerushalmi, when there's still 150 years or so of the writing of the Talmud Bavli. So they, right, so there's this Yerushalmi machlokas, which also, you know, has a presence as a Bavli machlokas. By and Rava, though, do have their roots in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's we get mixed up a little bit more, right? So because we say over here, come Abaye b'shita say de Rava, come Rava b'shita say de Abaye. They ended up switching shitos. You know, Abaye's like, you know what, Rava Tak, I think you were actually right. And Rava's like, no, please, I insist. You were right. And they actually fully switched opinions. But then the result of this is a problem. Virami de Abaye adabaye, virami de Rava adarava. But then what comes out of this is that we have another teaching, which we're about to see, in which Abaye contradicts his new shita, and Rava contradicts his new shita. And we'll see that in a moment. I'll just point out a Tosos over here. The obvious answer here is that, well, maybe this teaching was before the switch, right? We have a very explicit Gemara here, which tells us they switched. Maybe it's before the switch. So Tosos Rami Dabaye Dabaye says Kimle Lahashas. So the Gemara is assuming Dahach Milsa Demaisi, or maybe not assuming. Maybe the Gemara knows that Dahach Milsa Demaisi Itmar Basar Dahadrabu. However, the Gemara knows it. The Gemara is confident that this was after they had already switched opinions. This new teaching came out that we're about to see, which is now going to pose a contradiction of Abaye against his new opinion and Rav against his new opinion. Okay, so let's take a look at this challenge. So to Idmar, as it was stated, Hamotze Peros the Rosh Hashanah, someone who takes Peros into a Rosh Hashanah, out of Rosh Hashanah, he brings them out to Rosh Hashanah. Abaye Amar Biyad Chayv Bikli Potter. So Abaye says, if he took them out Biyad, so he has them in his hands. His hands are out of bounds. His hands are in the Rosh Hashanah. So Biyad, he says Chayv. He's going to be Chayv, even though his rest of his body is in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but if his hands are out, it's chayiv. Bikli putter. But if it was in a kli, meaning the kli was partially out, then he's putter. Right? So clearly he holds. Rashi says over here, biyad chayiv. Mishayatsu haperos afalpi shegufo b'Rosh Hashanah Yachid v'lomrinan eged gufo shmei eged. We don't say eged gufo shmei eged. We don't say that his whole body is considered one unit, and therefore, if his hands are out with the fruit and his body is in, so we don't say shmei eged. Therefore, it's as if none of it is out. You need the entire body out. We don't say that. But Bekli Pater Rashi says Kozman Shish Miktas Akli Bebeso. We're just clarifying that part of it is inside, part of it is outside, and therefore the fact that he says Pater, clearly he holds Kli Eged Kli Shme Eged, which is not what Abaye said a line earlier, right? We said that Abaye switched to Rava Shita, and Rava held like Chizkia originally. Meaning, it's just a simple chart would help, but right, just and then you have to click switch over across the teams. It's gonna look like a football like plan, you know, a play. But so basically, Abaye is contradicting himself because Abaye switched to Rav Shita, which is Chizkiya Shita, which is that Eged Kli is Shmei Eged. Sorry, Rabbi Yochanan Shita, which is Eged Kli is Shmei Eged. That's what Abaye ends up holding, but over here, sorry, Lav Shmei Eged, but over here he's holding it is Shmei Eged because he's saying that if it's the Kli is partially in, partially out, it's Chayiv. And as you can expect, the next step, Rama Amar Biyad Pater, right? If his hand is out, it's Pater because he holds that Eged Guf Shmei Eged, that it's his whole body and only his arms are out. But the Kli Chayiv, the Kli is Chayiv. So how does the Gemara deal with this? We have Rav and Abaye arguing against the shitas that they ultimately agree with. So ipuch, switch it up. Yeah, in this itmar, in this Gemara over here, we misquoted it. But rather, Abaye's shita is Abaye's shita, and Rav's shita is Rav's shita, as they later said. And this Gemara, this last case, this last itmar, should be flipped. Okay, biyad chayiv. But let's take a look at this. Hold on. We just said that was it Rava? Rava? No, sorry. Abaye says biyad chayiv. If it's in his hand, and his hands are out, he is chayiv, even if his body's still in. V'hatznan. But we learned in the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah on Beis Hamidrash. Poshad Bal Abaye says yado lechutz v'natalani mitocha. If the balabayis stuck out his hand, the balabayis is standing in his house in the Yisrus Yachid, and he sticks out his hand to the Yisrus Rabbim, v'natalani mitocha, and then the ani takes it out of his hand. Oh, shenosan lesocha. Or he places it into his hand, v'hichnis, and then the Baal Bais brings his hand back in, shnei and peturin. Both of them are potter. So over here, right, over here, we have a case where it says they're potter. And it would seem to be that the reason they're potter is that his body is in and he's sticking his hands out. So how could you say that if his body's in and his hands out, he's chayiv? So the Gemara responds, "Hosom lemala migimel, hacha lemata migimel." There, in that Mishnah, it's where it's over three tefachim from the ground, meaning we don't say lavud. The hacha lemata migimel. So in our case, what it looked like Rava, sorry, it looked like a Bai, but it's really Rava, because we said Ipoch, right? So let's call it Rava's case, where it's in his hand, his hands are out, and we're going to say he's Chayiv. So that's where it's within three Tvachim of the ground, so it's considered as if it's on the ground and entered the Nerushos, and that's why he would be Chayiv. However, in the case that we had in the Mishnah, it's above three Tvachim, so it didn't really... enter that new resource properly, and I guess there's no hanacha. There's no proper hanacha because it's into the hand. So that's how we deal with this, and it's not a contradiction. Don't worry about this. Okay. Next, Masnisa and a new Mishnah, and now we're going to get into a little bit of a new topic. We've been talking about the shiurim for Hotzah for a very long time, different things, but now we're going to talk about the manner, the fashion in which Hotzah is done. Hamotzi bein b'yamino bein b'smolo besocheko o al ksefav. So somebody carries something in his right hand or his left hand, or besocheko, right, in his chest, in his bosom, like right in front of him, o al ksefav, or over his shoulders. Or maybe over his shoulders, or one shoulder, whatever it is. Chayiv, why? Shekein masa b'nei kahas, because this is how the b'nei kahas carried it, right? The b'nei kahas are in the parshios we're talking about now with the Mishkan we mentioned a while ago, Daf Mem Tes, and a couple other times since Ayin Gimel, right? Remember the egg, the ostrich egg that's being thrown, and he's saying Amitas Malacha. So we mentioned all the connections to the Mishkan, Vayaka Bakude. So part of the carrying that was done is in the transport, and the B'nai Kahas were carrying the Aron and some of the other Kalim. Really, I don't know. I'm wondering why the B'nai Kahas are specified here. Actually, I'm not sure. But this is the manner that they carried it. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi just says, Bekasefi so, that they shall carry it on their shoulders. So it seems to be quoting a pasuk for that. It's probably in Parshas Naso that it's a pasuk for carrying. And it says v'yamin v'smol v'cheik orach ara, that like the right hand, left hand, and like in front and like in your chest. These are very typical ways of carrying. So like you don't even need like a pasuk for that. But a pasuk, maybe you need a pasuk a little bit for the shoulder, carrying on the shoulders. But these are all normal ways of carrying. But over here, the Rashi also quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Yehuda Matzasi. Oh, sorry, Ubeshem Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Yehuda Matzasi. Sha'amar Beshem Rav Hai. Right, he quotes in the name of Rav Hai Gaon. Shemafurish Bahashas Yerushalmi. That in the Yerushalmi, Upekudas Elazar Ben Aaron Hakohen. Shemen Amba Or Victor Sasamim Umin Chasatamid V'Shemen Amishla Shemen. Right, so in the Yerushalmi, it gives very specific examples that it said that he would carry all these things at once: the Ketores from last week's parsha, the Shemen Amishla, the Minchas Tamid from the parsha 2 weeks ago, and V'Shemen Hamishcha from last week's parsha. Echad B'Yamin V'Shemen Echad B'Smol V'Haktores B'Cheiko V'Hachavitin B'Kasef. So he would carry all four of these things at once, and his quote in the Yerushalmi brings explicit sources for this. It's actually not so common for Rashi to quote Yerushalmi. Very interesting, but he's quoting the Yerushalmi that there's explicit sources or implicit sources that outline each of these manners of carrying. So Rashi's first approach is that three of them are just so normal that you don't have to bring a source, and one of them is derived from a pasuk, and the Yerushalmi is that no, like all of them are implied by the psukim. Okay. Anyway, so these are abdeknas kila achar yado. So kila achar yado. So this is an interesting term. It means it actually comes up in other areas of Hilchos Shabbos as well. Kila achar yad usually means backhandedly, which is it's whether to understand this as a euphemism, right, or as an expression. Backhanded means just indirect, some other out of the ordinary fashion, or it doesn't mean literally the back of my hand. Right. So I when it comes to different ways to do tiltal of mukta objects. So there's a heter of doing it kila achar yad, backhandedly, carrying something backhandedly. And it's actually, I forgot which Rishonim say this, but that dafka back, you can't use the back of your hand, because that's a normal way people that might do things. So kila achar, le achar yad is not necessarily kila achar yad. So it's an interesting discussion. But over here, so it might mean carrying backhandedly or potentially on the back of your hand. Tosos over here quotes a different girsa, that it's actually Yeshlam deberaglo have perish kila achar yado. That right, he says that there's a different gear. So it could be la achar yado or kila achar yado, and it could be we're about to give examples of kila achar yad, excluding the back of your hand, or it could be that this means the back of the hand. Okay, but it's going to be the same basic idea throughout. Biraglo, something with his foot. Bifpiv, something with his mouth. Uva marpeko, which is his armpit, ba'ozno, something in his ear, ubasaro, carrying something in his hair, upundaso, upia lamata, if he has upundaso is his money belt that it was made with the Rashi's the halal, with like it was hollow. The people would wear like hollow belts that they could put money in, but over here piha lamata, the opening is like facing downwards, so it's not a secure way at all to have it. So basically, all of these ways are not normal ways of carrying. Now, anything that would normally be carried this way, bifiv, right? Let's say it was food, which is normally carried in his mouth. So actually, that would be a problem. Let's say it was like, let's say it was one of those, those like from the 70s, like the combs and the afros, whatever. So if that's a normal way of carrying it, so it could be that would actually be a problem. But a normal thing in your hair, or a normal thing, in your ear maybe as well. We had this discussion actually. Forgot where it was. Was it Yud Aleph maybe? Where we spoke, yeah, it was Yud Aleph, where we spoke about certain people of certain professions to wear, right, to wear something behind their ear, and a lot of carpenters would have this behind their ear, and tailors would have this behind their ear. What if a tailor has a needle in his garment, right, carrying on Shabbos? So we spoke about this kind of thing, but over here we're assuming for a regular person that this is not normal ways of carrying it. Okay, so lechaluka, also bein lepunda so lechaluka, between his money belt and his cloak, ubisfas chaluka, and the edge or the hem of his cloak, bimenalo besandalo, in his shoe or in his sandal, putter. All these is putter. Why shelo hotzi kederach hamotzin? Because he's not carrying it the way people carry it. It's not a normal way of carrying it, and in a general principle by Malacha Shabbos is that it's supposed to be in a way that it's normally done. Okay. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hamotzi Masoy Lamala Me'asara Tvachim, somebody who carries a burden above 10 Tvachim, Chayiv. He is Chayiv. Right? I think the Chiddush here is that even if it's... Right, like normally, I think if it would be over 10 tefachim, maybe it's a different rishus, right? Rishus Rabbim. But nevertheless, we're going to see that it was a normal thing to be done in the construction of the Mishkan to carry things over 10 tefachim, and therefore it's going to be included. How do we see this? Chayiv shekein masa b'nei kahas, because we see the b'nei kahas indeed did this. Umas ben Ikhas minal. And so how do we know that the ben Ikhas actually carried things over 10 tefachim? So, dichsiv, because it says in the pasuk, al ha-mishkan v'al ha-mizbeach saviv, that it was on the mishkan and on the mizbeach all around. So what this pasuk does is it's makish mizbeach l'mishkan. The mishkan and mizbeach should be compared by this hekish. Ma mishkan yud amos, af mizbeach yud amos. So just like we know the mishkan was 10 amos, and this pasuk makes a comparison between the mizbeach and the mishkan, the height of the mishkan. Therefore, we know the mizbeach is also 10 amos. Okay, so we're not there yet. So how do I know that the Bnei Kahas carried things above 10 tefachim? How do we know that? So, but we're not even there yet. Umishkan gufei minalan. I need a source for that too. How do you know the mishkan was 10 amos, right? Mizbeach I know because I compare it to the mishkan, but how do I know the mishkan itself? Dichsiv, because it says in the pasuk eser amos orech hakarash, right? That is in Shkacha Pratis, this week's parsha. Right, this it's in Parshas Pekudei. Beautiful, right? Or maybe it's not. Yeah, maybe no, it is. Yeah, this week's parsha. So, this next pasuk is from this week's parsha. That's from last week's parsha, or 2 weeks ago. This next pasuk is Uksiv Vayifros Esa Ohel Al Mishkan. So the pasuk says that the crush, the beam of the mishkan was 10 amos, and it says in this week's parsha Pekudei Viksiv Vayifros Esa Ohel Al Mishkan, and he spread the ohel over the mishkan. So we didn't get to the proof yet, by the way. So far we have proven that the mishkan was 10 amos, the mizbeach was 10 amos. And that's it. And now we see that Vayifros Esa Ohel Al Mishkan, that Moshe spread the tent over the Mishkan. So Va'amar Rav, and Rav says regarding this, Moshe Rabbeinu Parso Mikan, so Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who did this, Mikan Atalamed Govhan Shelevim Eser Amos. So we're gonna have two strange steps to get to here. Which is, first of all, if Moshe was able to do this, the Mishkan is 10 Amos, and the Moshe was able to spread it over, Moshe must have been at least 10 Amos tall, which is close to 20 feet, between 15 and 20 feet. So that's very, very tall. And now here's the next step. Therefore, and Moshe was a Levi, he's probably representative of the Levitic tribe, so probably all of the Levium were around 10 Amos tall. Okay. I honestly don't understand this according to Pshat. I don't understand this. Could be that there is some sort of like. It could be it's literal. I can't understand it if it is literal. Even if you say like, you know, the nature changed and nowadays people are short. I don't know if that's the case. It could be that there's something that just that the Torah sometimes leaves certain things open without saying it clear, and the Torah can have an implication of something that is not necessarily true in the reality of our world, but there is in some sort of, you know, cosmic way, there is like an alternate reality to what we see that the Torah leaves available for us to darshan from. It could be that something like that. We'll see though that the Gemara the Gemara will backtrack a little bit, so hang in there for a little. The Gemiri, and we learned, Dechol Tuna, anything that is carried, Dimidle Bemotos, carried on poles, Tilsa Mil'el Vitre Tilsa Mil'atachas, that usually it was, or always, it was one-third of it was above, and two-thirds of it were below. Meaning if you carry something on poles, so one-third of the object is going to be above the poles and two-thirds are going to be hanging below the poles. Ishtakach dehava midli tuva. And therefore, since you have these Levium who are 10 amos tall, or perhaps even more than 10 amos tall, they're carrying things on poles, and now the things are hanging down just two-thirds of it under the pole, and they're 10 amos tall, so everything is hanging well over 10 tefachim. Therefore, we have proven without a shadow of a doubt that things were carried over 10 tefachim. V'ibayisim, and if you want to say, if you're not thrilled with that approach for any reason, then me'aron, maybe you could learn it from the aron. De Omar Mark, as the master said, aron tisha v'kaporos tefach, Hari Kan Yud, that we know that the Aron was 9 tefachim. We have a Masorah that the Aron was 9 tefachim, and And the kaporis on top, right, the cover right on top under the kruvim was one tefach. We have 10 tefachim. And the gemiri, and we learned to kol tuna demidli mimotos tilsa mil el vetre tilsa mil ra ishtachach de la mala miyud havakoi. So we see that even if the levium were not necessarily 10 amos tall, each person, right, Rashi says over here, he says, lo gabihi levium, velav mizbeach gamrinan, deshema levium lo gabihi ela zayin amos. So we don't necessarily. So maybe they weren't so tall. Maybe they weren't 10 amos tall. Maybe they were 7 amos tall. Maybe they were 3 amos tall, like an average person. Maybe that was the case. But even so, if the aron is 10 amos, the aron and the kaporos are 10 tefachim, and you have 2/3 of it below, so it's still. So still, it comes out that it's just above 10 tefachim. So the aron itself can also be just above 10 tefachim, right? Meaning it's right because if they're around 3 amos tall, then it'll still be the aron will be held over 10 tefachim. So that also works. Now the Gemara asks, "V'ligmar mimosha." Wait, what's wrong with learning from Moshe? So Dilma Moshe Shani. Maybe Moshe is different. Maybe Moshe was unique in that he was 10 amos tall. Damar Mar, Eina Shechina Shore Ela Al Chacham Gibor V'Ashir Ubal Koma. Because there is a teaching that the Shechina only rests on somebody who is a Chacham, a Gibor, an Ashir, and a Bal Koma. Someone who is wise, strong, rich, and tall. It's interesting. That's the one that's not mentioned in the. You think it's like a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Ben Zoma and Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph, right? Ezehu Chacham, Ezehu Gibor, Ezehu Ashir, and then Ezehu Mechubad. But no, it's Ezehu Baal Koma, who's tall. Okay, and this has to be understood, right? What does that mean? Why so Hashem only rests on somebody who's tall? So this requires its own understanding and what that might mean. Is it something? Is it a reflection of something spiritual? Is it just that somebody who commands respect, that's the person Hashem is going to, you know, rest his Shechina on? Is that true that there are no short people that Hashem rested his Shechina on? There's no Nevi'im that were on the shorter end. And then again, what does it mean? Al Pipshat, was Moshe Rabbeinu really 10 amos tall? That really changes. I mean, can you rewrite? I mean, I don't want to say like, you know, any of the movies about it, but just try to rewrite the story and replay the story of all of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Moshe's just a giant. He's a man as tall as a house, right? It changes the sound of the story stuff, making it seem like it's not the pshat. I don't have a good understanding of it. I believe that. The Chazal means something here. I don't know what it is yet. So if you heard anything, saw anything anywhere, any essays or anything like that, I would love to hear to just have a greater one. Right now, I'm going to take their words with the Muna, but I would love to understand it properly. Okay, Amar Rav Mishum Rav Chia Hamotzi Masui B'Shabbos Al Rosho. Somebody who carries something on Shabbos on his head, Chayiv Chatas Shekein Anshe Hutzel. Hutzel Osim Kane. He's Chai Vachatas because the Anshe Hutzel did this. Vanshe Hutzel Ruba Da Alma? Wait, so are the Anshe Hutzel the majority of the world that you're going to follow their thing? If there's some strange people who carry things on their heads, should everybody else? Ella Yitmar Hachimir. Rather, if this teaching was stated, this is how it was properly stated. Amar Rav Mishim Ruchia Echanu B'nei Hutzel Shehotzi Masoy Al Rosho B'Shabes Chayiv Shekein B'nei Iro Osin Kane. If you have a Ben Hutzel who carries something like this, so he's following the Minhaga Makam of the people of the city, so he is held to his own people's standard. So the Gemara responds again, V'tibatel Dato Eitzel Kaladam. We should be Mavatel his Das compared to everybody else, right? We actually just had this principle in the previous daf, right? The guy who wants to take everything out of his house in one shot, and then so if he takes a little bit by bit, we say no. We're something called mevatel adas etzel kol adam. So Eliyat Mar Hachim, rather, if it was stated, this is how it was stated: Hamotzi Masoy Al Rosho Pater. Somebody who carries something on his head, he's putter. V'imtim Salomar, and if you're going to try to tell me, Anshe Hutzel Osten Kane, what about the Atze Hutzel? They do this. The Anshe Hutzel. So batel dato itzel kol adam. Nope, we're mevatel their das by kol adam because they are the minority in that regard. So that is so that brings us to the new Mishnah and daf beis daf sadi beis amud beis. Again, I'll just mention that this the daf simon for a tzav is a tzav, a turtle, And the one thing that from this amud that we had is that carrying above 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So that discussion, which will connect to the height of Moshe and the B'nai Kehas and carrying things, there are two approaches of how we got there to know that carrying over 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is going to be chayiv. That is the first zikru point, and the next two will be on tomorrow's amud. All right.